If I'm incorrect, I'll adjust. Obviously, I'm malleable, but I really think you can't replace humans with machines like they do in sci-fi movies. Rapport with your candidate is critical to success. Nobody wants to be ghosted. Shocking them with a text, with an email, with a phone call, and give them an update, even if it's a no update update.
Hello and welcome to The Recruiting AI, your premier destination on how generative AI is revolutionizing the recruitment and HR landscape. I'm your host, Liz Medina. In each episode, I will bring in-depth interviews with industry leaders, sharing their insights on how AI is changing the game in hiring and recruitment strategies. Whether you're a startup founder or hiring manager in a big enterprise, here's all you need to know to take your company to a higher level of productivity. Let's dive into the best practical tips in today's episode. Thanks for tuning in, and now let's welcome our today's guest. In today's episode, we're joined by Sherry Roeder, a seasoned talent acquisition professional with over 15 years of experience, particularly in the tech sector of AI, machine learning, and robotics. Sherry's extensive background includes a significant role at Xerox Corporation, where she excelled at global recruitment and implemented innovative hiring strategies. She is known for her strong relationship building skills and her strategic use of recruitment technologies. Today, Sherry will be sharing her insights on leveraging AI to transform recruitment process. So let's dive in. We are so excited for you to share with us your amazing background experience in the HR landscape, and we can't wait to know more about your best practice and advices. So Sherry, can you share a little bit more about you?
Liz, thank you so much for having me today. I really am excited to be here, and I would love to share. HR, and more importantly, talent acquisition, or TA, as I refer to it through our conversation, is about human interaction. I think of HR as the big department and TA as a subsidiary of HR. It takes a special skill set to work in TA and not diminish HR. Not to diminish HR whatsoever, the two are not the same. It's important to me personally and professionally to be authentic. I'm someone who advocates for the candidate as well as the company I represent, and I build trust with each person I encounter. My background is in the people business, and it began with my first job as a cashier at a supermarket in my hometown where I grew up, near the Cape in Massachusetts. I discovered I could banter with anyone, and from there I fell into consumer banking, and it was a part-time job, and then I was hired by a commercial bank after university. In 1999, I moved to San Francisco, and I changed the entire trajectory of my career. I fell in love with startups. The first startup that I worked at was Freedom Financial. It's now known as Achieve. I was a consultative salesperson assisting consumers with their unsecured debt. And because of my background in finance and accounting and working in banking, I understood credit and how all of that works. So I was approached at my ninth month working at Freedom Financial by my friend who said, "Hey, I'm at a recruiting agency and you'd be perfect for a recruiter role." And a lot of people have said that to me in my past. And so I joined him only to learn all about recruiting and what that means. But I ultimately ended up going back to Freedom Financial as their first director of HR and director of operations. And I began to understand that this was my purpose in life. 80% of my work was growing the startup from 68 employees to 260 during my 21 months of tenure with the help of 12 hiring managers. I also managed our professional employee organization, also known as a PEO, and they handled our benefits, our paychecks. I was onboarding new employees and wrote our employee newsletter, which was published monthly. I chose colors for the Freedom logo, which exposed me to marketing. And I've stayed on that marketing trajectory and that journey with TA because I find it so interesting and I love to hire marketing people. I also ensured the kitchen was stocked with basics, assigned leads to salespeople, prepared and executed our sales training every 4 to 6 weeks, traveled to Tempe, Arizona and Sacramento to show the love to our satellite offices, and in executive leadership by our professional employer organization as well. All this to say, at a startup, you wear many hats. If you are someone that wants all the rules written out for you, you should go to an established company. Don't work in a startup. You'll miss out on a lot of fun, but it's not really for you. So from there, I took a break and went to see my grand in Massachusetts. And then I managed a staffing agency. I had a team. I've worked as a retained search executive recruiter, mainly conducting research and going through data. I conducted candidate intake calls. I created decks for the companies who hired us and status updates and progress reports. Incidentally, I met the owner while I was driving to Uber to market myself to executives to get a job back then, because I didn't want to just apply to the big black hole of the internet in 2008. So I've worked for myself. And as you know, I have an affinity for startups because they are ever-changing. You're not required to stay in your own lane. And I've gone into an interview for a recruiter role and come out as the director of sales. I've also worked as a consultant for YouTube and Nikon. And most recently, I was a full-time senior technical global recruiter for Xerox and Park. And I was helping to hire PhD and master's level scientists and engineers in technology and science, like marine cloud brightening engineers. I had no idea what they did, but obviously now I know all about that. So anyway, working at Xerox was a joy. I'm proud to be part of the company with a 118-year legacy. I do have a lot of experience, but I barely know anything because recruiting is evergreen. So they have.
Sherry, I agree with that. And thank you for sharing all your background experience. It seems like you have been jumping from startups to corporation, and that's amazing because everyone knows that every business needs are unique. So I think it took me to the next question that will be, and this is more for HR professionals, hiring managers, startup founders. When we talk about tech roles, hiring process and all that, before AI, it was completely different, right? It was manually and slower, and maybe then AI came up, right? And made it easier for many professionals to improve and execute better their, let's say, their job, right? So how do you think AI impacted positively in the hiring process you have led?
This is such a complex question, and the answer is not one size fits all by any stretch of the imagination. I'll ask you, what kind of tech role are you filling in? SWE, software engineering role, and hiring a cohort of 10 SWE professionals? Yes. Or are you hiring one or two specialists? Soft skills are very important in some roles, but in others where you're an individual contributor, it's not as important. It is important, but it's not critical. So to make this a bit simpler, in my humble opinion, artificial intelligence will never replace a recruiter. It'll make our jobs more organized, streamlined, and save the investment of time. Absolutely, it will. If a recruiter has 10 holes to fill, automation and consistency are key to success, especially on small TA teams. The challenge is the candidate's experience. I personally provide white glove service to every individual I interact with. I'm not a high volume recruiter. AI is a wonderful tool to do many things, like rephrase phone screen questions and make them unbiased, drill down on a resume to find technologies that match the job description. It can help in sourcing and headhunting, resume screening. It can help in interview scheduling. It can also help with figuring out if an individual will be a good fit for the team and for the company. I'm not sure at this point if it's trustworthy enough to predict if a person will be successful for the role, because we just don't have enough data. AI is a tool, it's a hot topic, and it has been for a few years now. I love that we are advancing and learning all the time. I would love to see AI help with the entire process, from the first phone call to the first day of onboarding currently, and for a very long time. This has been a pain point for candidates, hiring managers, and recruiters. TAs and entire industry needs to focus on this to get better, because there are people who think recruiting is dead, and this could not be further from the truth. AI will hopefully fix what is broken. Time to interview, decisions, hiring managers asking for additional CVs for no other reason that they want to see more CDs and get the best person, but maybe they already have the best person. So they'll need 100. And we can finally shine in the eyes of candidates and hiring managers. So that's my take on AI, but it's just one woman's opinion, honestly.
Of course. And you're totally right. And I think you say something that is key, and it's that the talent churn can be costly, right? It takes time, it takes money, and replacing one person, you will never find another person like the person you have, because no one is the same as anyone else. You can find similar profiles, yes, similar skills, yes, but maybe not the same professional ethic, right? The values of the person.
Right.
So I think this is key. And I think that this next question will be very good to you, Sherry, because it is more tied to the deep principle, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And I know you're a human first person, and I love that from your profile background. So about inclusion, about hiring on, let's say, other regions, how do you make sure that it's the same principle, that the DEV principle for US, for APAC, for Europe, because they are not the same region, right? There are different laws, there are different, right. different compliance, right? So it's not the same, for example, in APAC than in North America. So how do you make sure to give the candidates the best candidates experience in this hiring process to also move forward with the principle, diversity, equity, inclusion, and becoming?
First and foremost, everyone matters. This is very key. For diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, we now call that inclusion. There are Czech universities and women's colleges and historic Black colleges. Some of those entities don't live in other countries. So for example, in India, it's critical to be very cognizant of the laws and the rules. They have different rules than the US. There's all different rules in Belgium, everywhere. So really putting it in writing, putting a little bit of or a lot of what you know about every single country on a document so that it can become integrated into hiring across the globe. That's really important. And the other thing to realize is that you have to be a proponent of diversity, equity, and inclusion in everything that you do, because unconscious bias is a real thing in the bigger companies, the Fortune 500 companies and larger organizations. They usually have training about unconscious bias. But when you're in a startup, you really have to be very cognizant of the fact that you just don't have the resources. So hopefully you have one or two attorneys as part of your hiring process that you can reach out to if you need help. But the key is communication. You have to communicate internally, and you have to really ask questions that you may or may not realize are critical, because everyone doesn't have the same information that you do, and everybody doesn't learn at the same pace as everyone else.
Totally.
Everyone matters. That, I mean, that's really the...
Today's episode is brought to you by Taylor Talent, the best end-to-end solution for connecting top-tier Latin American talent to companies of any industry and size. From recruitment to payroll, Taylor Talent customizes the selection process based on your business needs to match your company with the right talent. Committed to transparency, Taylor Talent is disrupting the industry by disclosing their fees up front and never charging more than 20% of the talent salary. Plus, with no minimum commitments required from the client, it's easier than ever to find the talent you need without any long-term obligations. Discover more about how to hire marketing professionals, software engineers, DevOps, or any other tech role in their website, taylortalent.com, or click in the link of the description. So, Sherry, I strongly agree 100%. And actually, this is a good way to also remind our listeners, let's say co-founders of startups or maybe a big enterprise listening, the most important are the humans that are working with your company. If you are happy, if you have happy employees, your company will succeed. And it's costly, the talent churn. And I think that this next question is tied to this one, because this is more for business leaders looking to grow their companies. And everyone knows that a startup is always looking to reduce costs, increase productivity, but not looking for that risk in the talent quality, right? So I think the question here will be for you, Sherry, as you have been working in startups and big enterprises, what will be the best advice you can give to these business leaders looking to grow their startups, looking to save money, to save time, about the talent? I mean, and also about the talent churn, because everyone knows that it's costly, right? So what would be your advice for them?
First and foremost, rapport with your candidate is critical to success. If you build trust, you most likely will have a fan for life. If you're honest, if you follow up, even when there's nothing to report, follow up with your candidate. Everyone matters. Everyone wants to be important. Nobody wants to be ghosted. make your candidate's day by doing what you told them you would and shocking them with a text, with an email, with a phone call, and give them an update. Even if it's a no update update, it tells them that they matter to the company and that they matter to you because you're their shepherd, you're their guide through this process. And sometimes that's everything between a yes or a no to an offer when the time comes. I always ask myself, how would I feel in their shoes? Would I go for coffee with this person? Would I introduce them to my colleagues? If the answer is yes, you may reduce attrition for a long time to come. You as a recruiter, as in the talent acquisition, have a lot of power, but if you use it in a way to create more community and harmony within the workplace, you're doing a phenomenal job. It takes a lot of effort to do the right thing. It's easy to ghost someone. Don't do it.
Yeah, I strongly agree. So Sherry, that's actually a good call because many people, and that's okay because business are business, right? So everyone knows that business are there to be productive and make money, and that's okay. But we don't have to forget about the talent, about the employees that are working so hard. And at the end of the day, that if you have happy employees, you will succeed. You will never replace someone you can find a similar profile, professional profile, but won't be the same person. So Sherry, I think in order to close this podcast today, this episode, my last question will be for all those HR professionals listening. Will AI revolutionize the HR and recruiting landscape for better, or will AI replace it?
Liz, I love this question. It's so timely. Every startup in San Francisco right now seems to be focused on AI or is a brand new AI. So if a company is focused on its greatest asset, which is human talent, it can't be replaced by artificial intelligence. It'll cut down time to fill roles. Of course, it will streamline processes and create new ways of headhunting. The bottom line is people cannot be replaced by a machine. Recruiting is not the self-checkout at home. If businesses thrive and create culture that attracts super skilled talent, you must have human connections. The best thing that anybody can do is hire super smart people that are smarter than them and not be afraid of that because we all learn from one another in a collaborative environment, which is really what we want to do. People are not things. You can't move them like pieces on a checkerboard and they're unpredictable. So if you do that currently or soon, I'm not sure your business will thrive in this marketplace in 2024 and beyond. I'd like to see data on this because if I'm incorrect, I'll adjust. Obviously I'm malleable, but I really think you can't replace humans with machines like they do in sci-fi movies. We can automate. We can create better communication with AI. It's an enhancement to what we're already doing. We can do better with AI. I will be shocked if it replaces overall TA, recruitment, headhunting, the candidate experience, unique, fun, and overall more human. Because we're always doing this with our phones. We need to get back to the human touch. We really do.
I can't even imagine an artificial intelligence replacing a human in order to give the best candidate experience to a person. So no, I don't think that will happen, actually. So Sherry, thank you very much for this insightful information, and coming from your professional background, this is amazing. So outstanding for all those HR professionals, hiring managers, founders of startups that are listening. The most important here is to take the human first. The human rights. I think the calling will be for those HR professionals. AI is here to make our jobs easier. We won't be replaced. We can use many AI tools to improve our process and give our candidates the best experience. But at the end of the day, what matters is the human being. Everyone, this is The Recruiting AI. My name is Liz Medina. Thank you for this episode. I will see you in the next one. Thank you.